Praise God. Let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 3. And we've been talking about, for several weeks, about basically taking your place in the body of Christ. And that, you know, as we started out in the new year, and just, you know, that as God brings you on, as He brings you on in life, that He is going to grow you up, but He's going to do it. Now, we have a part to play. Our job is to believe Him. And if you believe, you'll act. If you really believe, you'll act. But it's His job to change you inside. It's not your job to get it all done through some program. It's not your job to get it done through the works of the flesh. Because like one person said, if you do it by the arm of the flesh, it's like a bump popping up out of your flesh, and you do it through your strength, and you put your arm down. I'm gonna squash that. Pretty soon it pops up over here. And then it pops up in a different place in your life. And pretty soon you cannot control. If you try to knock the flesh down and try to change yourself by your sheer will, it will pop up somewhere else. You see it all the time. People quit one habit, another one pops up. It takes its place. Why? You haven't dealt with the root. You haven't dealt with the real thing that's causing it. You're doing a superficial, it's a band-aid. So we want to just go and let Him change us, because He'll do surgery at the root and He'll take it out and you'll be able to walk forward. Amen. So we've been talking about that, but and gone through seven. All those messages are on the web. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. But today we want to go. Last week we were talking about specifically taking your place. And today I want to talk about walking in your place and some things around that. And essentially, walking in the place that God's put you. But let's read Philippians 1, verse 3. This is the scripture we've read kind of at the beginning of every sermon. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until next month, until next year. No, until the day of Jesus Christ. So that means until He comes or you go, until you meet Him. One way or another, He's going to keep on with each of us, growing us, making us into what He wants us to be. And we've talked about that, you know, taking the place that He has for us, not the place that we try to put ourselves in, because you really can't do that. Many people try, but you can't put yourself in a place. You can try, but you can't take somebody else's place, and you can't just say, well, I'm called to do this. You can't do it. Because who's calling? God. Who gives you the gifts to do it? God. Can you do things in the natural? Yes. People do it all the time. Do it with their own natural ability. Try to say God called them to do it. You want to be in the place that God called you. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. I encourage you, if you have a Bible, to turn there, even though we have the scripture sheet. Eventually we'll have it on a screen. But, you know, that's for your convenience. But it's good to turn to the scripture. I'm going to read a little bit of the New King James, but then I'm going to go to the sheet where the New Living Translation is, or the Living Bible. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Now let's go over and read this from the Living Bible on your sheet. Our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they're all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us together into one body. The Holy Spirit. We are His body. He's the head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. He's put us in His body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear, not an eye? Would it make it any less part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. So He has many parts, but still there is only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, here is what I am trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Now, we went over that in pretty good detail the last 2 weeks. But we've heard often, we're part of the body. We have a specific part. Now, what does that mean exactly? What does that part, what does that entail? It entails everything in your life. Ultimately, you are Christ, part of His body. It's not just here at church. It's not that, see, I think there's many times, and part of this is what I want to get across today, when we're part of His body, we are now children of the Most High God. That does not mean that, now, sometimes we just think of it as, well, okay, you're part of the body. What does that mean? Am I in the children's department? Am I in the music department? You know, am I called to preach? What is my part in the body? That's a very small segment of what it means to be called in the body and to take your part. Your part is your life. Everything. Here. Out there. How much time do we spend together versus out there in the world? It's very small. So if we get caught up thinking our part is here, it warps our thinking. Now, this is a part of it. I'm not negating it. But it also it forms our thinking how we're going to go about the quote-unquote church, because we're the church. This place is not the church. Programs are not the church. Those are logistics. You know, when I was down at Rhema, just to have a church picnic, they had a church picnic every fall. You know, it's 4,000 or 5,000 people that go to that church. The auditorium itself holds 4,500 people. To have the church picnic, you had to have so many volunteers. I mean, it wasn't, wait, we're going to go to the park and have a picnic, everybody bring a meal. No. Man, they have these acres of park that they own, a ranch, but there's sign-up sheets just to get the picnic done. And the parking lot. I mean, there's all these people, then there's, you know, talk about food. It's like being at a carnival. They have pony rides, you know, they have all these games that organize. Yeah, but it takes an army of people just to get that done. Yeah, some people might just get to go and show up. There's a lot of people that are making it happen. Well, that's logistics. That's getting it done. When you come to church, our primary purpose is to encourage one another and hear the word so we can go do what He's called us to do. What you're called to do is not in these four walls only. And see, it warps our thinking when we think that it is. And it causes a lot of divisions and strife and contention when you start thinking it's here. I've seen it. Have you ever seen it? Because you start thinking, if you get the idea that what I'm called to do has to be within the four walls and programs, I better have a space. I better be on that singing team. You ever been around musicians? I have. I mean, we sang at Rhema, frontline singers, choir, whatever, you know. I got to be on that spot. And if you're that spot, I'm jealous of you. I want to knock you off if I have the wrong spirit. Because it opens the door for the devil. If I think I have to be here, is there an opening in the children's? Oh, that's all full. Well, maybe I can play the keyboard. There, that's all full. What am I supposed to do? If I'm called, where am I called? That's a little bit of it. And if it doesn't exist, maybe I'll create a program for it. And so we get all these programs. And what do they exist for? Primarily so people have something to do at church. Are they forwarding the body of Christ? No, I've seen a lot of them that don't. Are we against programs? No. But again, programs are a means to an end. They are a means to build up the body of Christ, to meet needs, and to go forward. We don't do them just to have a place, because your primary place is what you do outside of here. You have many roles. You might be a mother, father, son, daughter, wife, husband, employee. We're not supposed to be outside the world, close ourselves up and say, well, I'm going to church. My life is a church. Man, I might not be doing anything out there, but man, I got a good position, you know, on the music team. They know who I am there. That's wrong. Backwards. It's completely upside down. No, they ought to know who you are where you work. You ought to be influential where you work if you have a job outside. They ought to know, they ought to see the Spirit of God on you there, because we're not called to pull in. We're called to be a blessing to this world. And God's put gifts and callings on each of us to do that. Only part of it is in the church. See, that's why when people get that idea, if you think that's the way it is, and you have a backwards mentality, what will the devil come tell you? Well, the best thing to do is be the one that speaks, or to be the one that's doing the music. They're the ones that are in front. I mean, that's the top. And so then people, they try to put themselves into positions God never called them to do, try to get up there in front because that's the one that you want to do. No, it's not. It's one little segment of what is out there in the world. Let me ask, does anybody know who Tim Tebow is? Football player, you know, relative young football player for Denver. He's a very prominent Christian. Can anybody tell me what he does in his local church? No. But you know who he is, and he's affecting millions of people, right? I don't know what he does in his local church. I'm not discounting that. What I'm saying is that's not his calling, necessarily. That's a part of what he would do. Did anybody know? I just blanked. Bethany Hamilton. Does anybody know who that is? The girl that, the pro surfer that got her, Soul Surfer, the movie Soul Surfer's about her, got her arm bit off by a shark. Again, same question. Anybody know what she does in her local church? She has affected millions of young people for God. But she's called to do certain things, right? Well, same thing with each one of us. If we get the idea it's all about what we do in church, see, we start jostling. Well, I want to do that. I want to tell somebody else how to do their job. See, when you think it's all about here, you've been around church for long enough, you understand maybe this is what I've seen, this is what it looks like. Now you want to start, hey, you should be doing that, you should be doing that, because you think it's all about here. If we just get busy and go out and do what we're supposed to do, you don't have time to worry about anybody else. You don't have time to worry about your teammates. You do what God's called you to do. You pray for the other people. Now, I've never been in the military, but I do know that when you get caught, you're doing a certain job in the military, it's out there. You don't do much good if you're at the base. That's where you go to get rested, get built up, get supplies. You go out and you do the job. The tank doesn't do a whole lot of good on the base if it's supposed to be crushing the enemy, right? You got to go out there. You're a tank driver, you drive the tank. You're not worried about what the guy doing that's flying the helicopter unless he's coordinating with you, because your job is not to fly the helicopter, it's to drive the tank. It's the same thing. When we think, if we just go on and do what God has called us to do out here, then when we come into the base to get built up, to get encouraged here in the body of Christ, see, this again, it's logistics. If we come together, we don't have a toddler program back there just to have a toddler program. It's so that they get something out of the service. If they grow up and it's easier. Toddlers, not that they can't be trained to sit, but they can have fun back there. They could be out here. But it's something to minister to them. Children, we have it just for the sake of it? No, it's so that they can learn at their level and get in the relationship with God and grow. And really, as we go on with the church, we want to do things because, with that in mind, that we want to do it because there's purpose in not doing it to make a place for somebody. You know, because then you get in over your head. You make a place, you make a place, you make a place. Pretty soon, everybody's burnt out. And I've been there. not completely burnt out, I'm saying, but I've been in places where you easily get overwhelmed because you think, and you don't have to, you get so busy doing what the church, you think you're involved in the church that you don't have time to talk to your neighbor. You don't have time to take somebody out at work for, you know, to minister to them or to build a relationship with. And a lot of people think, I shouldn't build a relationship with them because I'm just supposed to be in the church. Wrong. How? If we all take our lights and come in here and that's the only time we show it, how is anybody going to get influenced? They're not. And what we've done in the body of Christ is instead of going out and showing our light, we all gather together and we have all these lights like a stadium and we're all saying, hey, what color's your light? What color's your light? Ooh, I don't know if I like your light. And we're all together. And the world out there is starving. That's what the church does a lot of times. Instead of, hey, take your light, man, in the middle of darkness, if you take your light out of there, it will shine. That's what we ought to do. And we're all called to do something, and I'm telling you, most of what we do is outside of here. So when we say something about the Ephesians prayers, praying them at home, that's your life. Integrate it into your life. Do it. You know, pray for the people in your life because you have authority in their life like I don't. You have spiritual authority that I don't. You know, we want to minister to our kids. We want to have good relationship with our family. We don't want to yet those things slide at the expense of serving in the church. Well, you know, I got this tonight. I got that tonight. Boy, I'm serving. I'm helping God. But, yeah, my family's just neglected. No. No. Opposite. This is an overflow. We want to do everything that God's called us to do. Take care of our wife. Take care of our husband. Take care of our family. Take care of our, you know, affairs at home. Take care of a job. Be the best employee that we can do. Take care of those things. And we come to church to get built up so we can get equipped so we can go out and do it some more. And then we walk with grace towards each other. Somebody is volunteering their time to do something in the toddler room. Well, I don't like the way you do that. I don't like your outfit. It doesn't help. Be thankful that the person's volunteering their time to do it. I mean, ramp it. You know, when you get a church of certain size, well, I don't like that outfit that the musician's wearing. Well, that's a little skimpy on that, you know, frontline singer. All the time. You've heard it. No, we just go worry about what God, not worry, but you know, just take care of business where God has called us and let God take care of other people. When we talk about everybody bringing their gift, it is not saying that everybody is going to do something at church in some form. Some people are called to be business people and they support it. They come in and they go out. You know, they're not in the toddlers, not anything, and that's a calling of God. I'm going to show you some scriptures, but we just want to go with what He has, and it's not the just around the four walls of the church. We get warped. We get inbred. That's not the way God has set it up. Let's down to 1 Thessalonians. Let's skip down there. Hallelujah. I believe there's a lot of, I've seen it, there's a lot of miserable people because they're not really stepping into what God has called them to do. When they step into what God has really called them to do, they're enjoying life, they're happy, and they're happy, they're good to be around because they're having fun. Like I said at the beginning, God is having fun. If you think you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're just like, well, brother, I'm committed to it. I'm doing it, but God's called me to do it, and you know, I don't think you're doing what God's called you to do. How would you like it? I was talking with a few folks before. How would you like it if your spouse said that somebody asked you, you know, how's your relationship, and your spouse said, you know, let's say somebody came up to me and said, you know, how's it going with Shelly? You know, you enjoy being married to her? Well, I'm committed to her. I mean, you know, it's a commitment. I'm committed to her. It's, you know, if I did that and Shelly was there, I might be laying on the floor before I knew it. No, is that healthy? Is that the way you want your marriage to be? No, it ought to be fun. Marriage ought to be fun. Families ought to be fun. We're a family. The church is a family. It ought to be fun. You ought to be waking up saying, I get to do what God's called me to do. And you do too. And they don't overlap and we need each other. Awesome. It ought to be like that. But when people go, oh, yeah, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I'm just going to come, but I'm committed. I don't think you're in the right church then. I mean, that's why I tell people, go where you're happy. I'm not saying everything's going to be a bed of roses. Just no more than everything will be a bed of roses in marriage. Anybody attest to that that's been married? No, there's going to be humps. But by and large, you enjoy life. You're happy with it if you're doing it God's way. You know, and that's the way I ought to be. You shouldn't have to pull yourself to go to church every week and say, ah, got to hear that guy again. No, it should be, I want to see these people. Now I want to get up and go out and do what I'm called to do. And when you're in that place and you're walking where God has called you, you'll be happy. You'll be a fun person to be around. You'll enjoy life. And you won't be weird either. People, I'm serious. I've been around, man, I grew up in certain, people, it's like church people, you're weird. All you do, you think you're something in the church. You want to do this position, but man, you go out in the real world and you're weird. You go to work, it's like, yeah, but at church, I'm the big fish. It's backwards. No, we ought to be able to relate to the world because that's why we're still here. If it was all concerned with the church, Jesus would get us out of here and we'd go home. But we're supposed to minister to the people that are in the world. We're not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we're here. So I ought to know how to relate. You ought to, on the job, be able to relate. They ought to look to us and say, you're a good worker, man. What's your opinion on this? If you're not doing that, you're missing it. We all would be missing it. I'm not preaching you. I'm preaching to me too. That is a mentality, though, that I've seen grown up. And it's, no, that's backwards. We ought to be walking with God, enjoying what we're doing, and being good at it. And if you're in God's place, you will be good at it. He puts gifts on you, and it's not just for preaching or teaching or music. All kinds of things. We walk in what God has called us to do. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Excuse me. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are inside the church. Just, you know, we gather together and love one another. No. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside. That you may lack nothing. You notice what he said there? People want to know all about prosperity. Well, how you get prosperity? Well, you give an offering. No, you don't. That's one facet. You also work. And being excellent in a profession will bring you money. The gift, your gift will make a place for you. That's part of it. It's not just lottery or magic wand. Oh, I've given this and I'll just read back. No, that's part of it. God will bless, like we were talking about. We read a scripture. But you're going to sit, if we're going to be lazy at our job and think, well, yeah, but I'm a blessing. I give. I don't have to worry about being on time or anything. That's wrong. No, it's not. It's not like that. We want to do what God has called us to do. So what does he say? I want to read verse 11 again. That you also aspire to live a quiet life, to mind your own business. That means take care of the job that God called you to do. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Now, let's read 1 Corinthians 5. We're going here just for the comment he made, not for the specific context. He's talking to people who had fallen into sin. But it's good what he said, because a lot of people, again, sometimes we have this backwards. So I wrote to you in my epistle, 1 Corinthians 5, 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Some people think we ought to not, we shouldn't rub shoulders with anybody. I mean, if they're in sin, no way, we shouldn't rub shoulders. Who is going to reach those people if we don't? No, it's not bad to build a relationship. You know, you don't go and just preach. I mean, people get the idea, I'm going to go win somebody for God. No, you do that as you're led by the Holy Ghost. But you don't like, none of us like somebody coming up and shouting in our face who we wouldn't know from Adam. They're going to come and tell us the way to God and that they know more and here's how you be saved. Most people will not listen to that. Most people, especially in this day, it might have worked to a degree at some time, but it will not work majority of time now. People are cynical, people are sarcastic, and people are very distrustful, and they don't just submit to authority. So they come up to you, they're going to say who you are, and they're going to tell you where to go. And if they're not a believer, it's probably not going to be in any nice language. How do you reach people? It's by building relationships with them so you actually have influence in their life. Why do you go to a certain mechanic? Because you picked them out of the yellow pages? Maybe. Probably because somebody you know recommended them and you trust that person and you trust their word and they had a good experience. How do businesses grow? Through word of mouth, through trust. Somebody you know probably led you to that person. Somehow, some way. I'm looking for a new dentist. That's how we found our dentist. We moved into town. Asked our across the street neighbor. Who do you go to? I go to this person. Okay, tried them out, like them. That's where we go today. That's the way it happens. So who do we think we are if we're going to go and just tell everybody what to believe? They're not going to listen to us. So how do we get them to listen to us? We build relationships with them. It means we got to work with them. We got to relate to them. That's out there. That has nothing to do with in here. They don't care what goes on in here. And this is supposed to be to build us up, not to be centered around the people that don't know God. It's the church of the living God. It's not made to win people. We're supposed to be influencing people out there and bringing them in. Doesn't mean we can't minister to people when they come in. We can, but it's not the central purpose. So he says, I like the way it was put. I certainly did not mean, you know, he says, verse 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yeah, I certainly did not mean the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous, extortioners, idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. No. He's saying, you're supposed to do that. Now am I saying, you be best buddies with them? No. Being best buddies with them is different because bad communication will corrupt your manners. You will be drawn in. Now, I'm not saying that. Don't use an excuse to go to the bar and belly up and say, hey, you know, and this guy said we're supposed to just hang out, so hey, let's get around going. No, it's not supposed to be to where they're our best friends, but we have influence. We build relationship with people. We ought to be doing that. Let's turn back to Exodus. I want to read a couple of scriptures. So if we have the mentality that everything is within these four walls, then we start changing our thinking to making everything about God in the four walls of the church. We become warped. Our thinking becomes warped. We start interpreting things, everything we see in the Bible, in light of that. And I've seen many people feel like they don't have anything to give to the body of Christ, because, and they're just not spiritual because they're not called to preach. They've been made to feel like that through certain preaching. That is wrong. And they are called to be in business. I've seen it. Called to be in business, called to do this, and then somebody comes in, you know, at church, well, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you doing it? And try to make them feel unspiritual when this person is more spiritual than this person, you know, talking to them, thinking they have it all together because, you know, the person in church comes and they're involved in programs, so they think they're super spiritual when this business guy is out walking with integrity, doing a good job, being a good witness, and that's actually more spiritual if we gauge it by walking in love and walking the way we should than the churchgoer. And yet the guy doesn't want to have anything to do with church then. Why? Because, yeah, the person goes to church, but he doesn't do anything in the real world. And that's totally wrong. No, God has called us and give us gifts both that are certain things to do, teach, and preach, and sing. Yeah, that's part of it. People that work with children, yeah, but he's also called people that are artists. He's also called people that are real estate brokers. He's also called people that know how to run a business. All types. He's called teachers. He's called engineers. And that is just as valid, and that is spiritual, and you can walk with an anointing of God on that job just as much as when you're preaching in front of people. Exactly. I experience it. I'm a software engineer. I walk with God and ask for wisdom. When I don't know something, I say, God, give me the wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding to do this. Show me. And I have had him show me right in the, you know, we're on a timetable. There's a bug in the code, you know, a flaw, and we have to figure it out. I've had him cut through. I did not know this particular part of the software. I didn't know, have any clue. And I said, God, show me. And within a half hour, I had the problem fixed, and it was done. And it was not natural. That's the way we ought to operate. We ought to operate in the anointing of God Almighty on our jobs every day. The anointing just doesn't flow when you plug in a keyboard or when you get, you know, in front of a pulpit. No, no, no. That cuts out a lot, and then people feel like they're not spiritual if they're not doing that, so people try to get themselves in positions they never should be in, and they don't feel like they're really fulfilled out there when they're doing exactly what God called them to do. No, we're called to equip the body of Christ to go out and do the work of the ministry, which is out there. Exodus 28. Get a load of this. Exodus 28, verse 2 and 3. I'll read the verse. I think I only put verse 2 there. I'll read the verse prior. It says, "And now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother." He's talking to Moses. "And you shall make," but what does he say? "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans." He said, "Moses, you're not going to do it. I know what the end result will be." No, you go to the gifted people that do this stuff, that are good, that I've called to do it. What does he say? "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom." That's very interesting, because most of the time in the Old Testament it says that the spirit is on. But it said that the spirit, he's filled them with wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and that he may minister to me as priest. He gave these people the gift to make the garments so that Aaron could minister. God anointed them to do that. That was what they're called to do. And they're good at it. Man, I've said this, but I work with artists at work, industrial designers. They're good at what they do. I don't have to draw the graphics for my software because they do it. I tell them what I want. They come out with it. They're good at it. I don't have to do their job. I do my job. That's what he's saying here. Exodus 31, just a little bit further down. Exodus 31, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called my name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." This guy is equipped to do what God has called him to do. Notice, Moses didn't do it. Notice, there was a specific person that God called to do it that's good at it. And God had equipped him specifically to do it. Amen. God does this. He puts people in positions. He gifts us all in positions. And a lot of it is not here. If we'll just get a hold of what he's called us to do, free us up to go live for him. Free us up to do what we've always had a passion for. And maybe we're walking in that now. And just to be the light in the world that God has called us to be. In the world. At church too. Whatever God's called us to do. Now, if there's logistics in the church, things that need to be done, yeah, We help out with that as God calls us to do. We do things, and people, certain people, our man, are gifted to work with y'all. I'm thinking of one young lady at Rhema that was our friend that, man, gosh, we worked in the children's for quite a while in the elementary on Wednesday nights. You know, they have 200-something kids there on a Wednesday night. Man, she would give certain messages. She was so good at it. I mean, we did it. We're not called to do it. I'd give a message to those kids, you know, but she just captivated those kids. Man, she was good at it. Just at a different level. Why? God called her to do it. She was assistant to the, you know, person that was over it and everything. Just good at it. There are those things, but that's not all there is. And so when we look, we don't just look in this little pool of what is possible in the church world. No, that's just a portion. We look at the world and say, God, what did you call me to do? What did you call me to do? Where is it? Don't spiritualize it. Don't over-spiritualize things. Don't unspiritualize certain things. If God called you to do it, it's spiritual. And the anointing, if God's called it, the anointing of God will be there to do it, period. I don't care what it is. There is no unspiritual thing if it's in the service of the Master. And if you run to get a, you take a note to somebody. And if it's in his service, man, it's important. Because he's the one that gets the glory, not us. It's not us. We just walk in the position that he's placed us in. And if we'll do that, not worry about people to the left or to the right, but just look at him, keep our eyes focused on him, be content and happy, take care of our business, man, we'll be happy. And we'll be a blessing to those around us. We'll be a blessing to the people that aren't saved. They'll say, yeah, there's something. Man, you actually care about me? I look at you. You seem happy. Yeah, we could, that's how it's supposed to happen, through influence. Hallelujah.